You're faithful. Today is the first Friday of Lent, and during Lent, the Fridays have these different devotions set apart and these different masses that could be said on these Fridays. And today is the first one, the Friday right after Ash Wednesday, is that of the Crown of Thorns of our Lord. And we look at that, and so often we think of the Crown of Thorns, and we think of our Lord's head being pierced, and we think of the pain that that causes him. But do we go further than that? Do we think any more about the crowning of thorns than just what we see? Do we think any more of a lot of the different sufferings of our Lord during the Passion than just simply what we see with our eyes? You see, the crowning of thorns was so symbolic of many things. In fact, overall, it is a symbol for the redemption of mankind. We see that crown on his head was given to our Lord because of what price he was paying for. Adam sinned. Adam sinned, and that is how sin entered into the world. That is how any of our sins originated, was with that original sin of Adam. And how did he sin? He sinned through his pride. He sinned because he was so proud that he didn't follow simple instructions from God. Here he was, just a lowly man, somebody that was created out of dust, as we know from the prayer of Ash Wednesday, you know, remember man that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. He was created out of nothing, of dust, of just simple filth, and fashioned into this being, this man, and he was so proud that the one who made him, he didn't listen to. He was told only one thing that he could not do, which was eat of the forbidden fruit. And yet, through his own pride, he thought he knew better than what the instruction given to him by God was. And he was so prideful that what was the allurement of that sin? It was not the promise that the fruit tasted good. It was not the promise that some sort of reward of treasures would come to him beyond what he already possessed. It was not anything other than, you shall be like God. Temptation of pride to Adam. You shall be like God is what the serpent told them when they ate the apple. And they wanted to be like God. And they ate of it and they sinned. So it's that pride there in disobeying our Lord that our Lord had to suffer that humiliation in recompense for it. He had to be humbled beyond anyone's imagination. He had to suffer every little bit of humiliation. And throughout his entire life, this promised Messiah that the chosen people were all waiting for, they expected him to come as a king. They expected him to come as a ruler and to sit there in all earthly ruling splendor. But no, as he says to us, his kingdom was of heaven, not of here. And so from the very beginning, he's born into the most humble of positions. He lives in the most humble of situations. He's occupied in the most humble of ways. And he dies in the most humble of ways with this great humiliation upon his head, being pierced with thorns, on wearing a crown of pain when it should have been a crown of gems. Look at what happened to him during that time as the soldiers mocked him. They took the crown and they dunked those thorns deep into his head and they beat it into him instead of giving him that beautiful radiant crown. They had this dull crown of pain, and then they wrapped him in a gown or a cloak of purple being the color of kings. That is a symbolic color of royal nature. And so they wrapped him in this very coarse cloth, purple, which after being scourged even only served to irritate his wounds even more. And then instead of giving him a beautiful scepter as a symbol of his power to rule, they gave him a simple, dirty reed. And he stood there and they knelt before him in mocking adoration of him. Yet our Lord suffered all these things with patience and resignation, and complete placidness. And as he was brought out to appear before Pilate and all the people, that for once they get their king before them. And what do they see? They see this beaten and battered man, kind of in a joking way, looking as a quote-unquote king. But his crown is there for them to see that they're mocking him in this way, not sparkling with gems, but glistening with drops of blood. Also, that crown was a mocking imitation for the Romans as well. So we see that the Jews accept that mocking as their chosen Messiah, their awaited king of their chosen people. But it was a mocking for all of the Romans around too. So everybody was in on that insult to our Lord. Because that crown of thorns also was put on them by the idea of and the implementation of the Romans' soldiers. And for them, it was a mocking imposition of what would have been the civic crown of the Roman emperors and the Roman people. So this crown, the civic crown, was an oak-leafed crown that was given out as a great military award. It was one of the highest awards that military officers could receive, and usually given out for saving the lives of others, saving the lives especially of Roman citizens. And the emperor began to wear this crown. We can still actually see the symbol of the oak leaf crown in our own military awards. Oftentimes, if you do something valiantly, what do you have added to something like a bronze star? You have oak leaf cluster put on there because you are so valiant in your efforts and you are so brave and selfless in the giving of yourself. You get this little emblem of oak leaves on it, which is the remnant from that civic crown. But in their pride, the emperors started to wear the oak leaf crown as well, and it was put on them in their coronation. And the Emperor Augustus, who was the emperor of Rome at the time, wore that crown all the time of oak leaves, and he was known to be proclaimed as the savior of the world. So there's that symbolism for the Romans there. The emperor wears the crown. He is the savior of the world. This man claims that, right? So we mock him in that same manner. And lastly, the symbol of the crown of thorns for our Lord is a symbol of sacrifice to God, and not just simply the pain of sacrifice, but an actual symbol of that very sacrifice being the offering to God. When Abraham was told by God to go up to the top of the mount and to sacrifice his only son Isaac, he did as God commanded him to. He brought Isaac up there. They trudged their way. He carried the wood to the top of the mountain. And there he laid it out, and he laid Isaac down upon that wood and was ready to sacrifice the life of his only son to God, and raised up the knife, and the angel stopped him. And and what did they behold before them at that moment? None other than a ram whose horns were locked up in a thorn bush. And the lamb was stuck there in those thorns wrapped around his head, and they not only freed him, but they also made that ram the sacrifice. God had provided a sacrifice for the faithful people in this situation, Abraham and Isaac. He gave them a sacrifice to take Isaac's place. But with the crown of thorns, we see that same thing. God sees people of goodwill that are sinful. And instead of us paying the debt due to our sin, which is death, he sends a sacrifice to be provided by himself for us, for our sins. And he takes our place. And he's laid upon the altar and he's sacrificed upon the wood of the cross. And every day we get to repeat that same sacrifice, that same ascension up the mountain, that same laying down of the victim upon the altar, and that same sacrificing of him there, not to be seen in all regal splendor, not to come down with light and show and fancifulness, but rather to be seen in a simple piece of bread. But the sacrifice is the same, and the effects are the same. We all approach that humbly, reverently, and we take it into ourselves, receive it, and it serves to our redemption. And it serves to our point in our life, that same humility shown by our Lord in his crowning of thorns, to serve us well too. We cannot get to heaven without our own sacrifice, our own way of the cross, and our own humility. Adam sinned by pride, and Christ redeemed by humility. The pathway is still the same. Pride always leads us to sin, but being humble always leads us to virtue, always leads us to Christ, and always leads us to heaven. So that is the spirit that we can get when we start to scratch the surface a little bit more with the crowning of our Lord with thorns. And so ask him today during this Mass, ask him all throughout Lent, ask him in all your little sacrifices and sufferings that you go through throughout this time leading up to his passion and death. Ask him to follow him in the slightest of ways. Yes, it'll be painful. Yes, it'll be hard. Yes, it'll require a giving of ourselves. But the reward will always be the same. The reward will be eternal paradise. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.